Let's go to Proverbs chapter number 19. Excuse me, chapter number 10 and verse 19. Proverbs chapter number 10 and verse 19. We also want to thank the Lord for all the souls who went down in Jesus' name on Sunday, and those who received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, for the new members that have joined. We give God praise and honor for all of them, and it's good to see you all in the house of the Lord once again. So, Proverbs chapter number 10 and verse number 19, we will also be investigating Proverbs 15, chapter 15. We will also be hitting up Proverbs chapter 19. And if you have your some notes or anything like that, that you can write these concepts down, a very simple concept but very poignant. It says, loose mouth equals wicked heart. Loose mouth equals wicked heart. And then it says, kept tongue, wise heart. So, loose mouth equals wicked heart. Kept tongue, or a tongue that is kept quiet, because that's the hardest animal and member of the body to keep under control. Those who keep their tongue have a wise heart. So, specifically, we want to talk about today the secret to being heard. Can everyone say that? The secret to being heard. And I think the main thing is, we all only say and do and act the way that we act because we specifically need and want to be heard. And when you feel like someone's not listening to you, it just makes you more frustrated, and you stop listening and you start talking or yelling, thinking the louder you get, the better you'll get heard. And it's really the complete opposite and antithesis of that. And number one, if you want to be heard, write this down. Say it the way that you would want to hear it. The best way for someone to really listen to you is to say it in a way that you would want to hear it yourself. So if you approach the conflict or the situation or whatever it is that you have to do, and you say it in a way that you would want to be talked to, you won't be talked back to in a crazy way. It pretty much is how you put it out is how it's multiplied and given back. Particularly women with women conflicts. Because if women get into it, 9 times out of 10, it never ends, because women have to be the ones with the last word. So someone in the spirit has to be the one to say, I'm not going to serve back. Or else it's a cycle that goes on for 30 and 40 years. I still know of beefs and problems people have, and they're well into their 70s, and they still don't like certain people from an instance that happened in the mid-70s. So, and they still haven't come together and just worked this thing out. And both are Holy Ghost filled and have been in church all their lives. And I just don't want that type of thing to go on, not just at church. You shouldn't have that type of disposition in life, because you have so much further to go. And until we pull out these weeds within us that have a tendency to want to attack just to win, sometimes when you win church, you lose. Have you ever won an argument but felt like you lost? You felt bad, like, yeah, I won, but why don't I feel like a winner? Because the intent wasn't to bring resolution, it was competitive. And love is not competitive. It's not out to kill. Love is understanding. Your children, you got to write that down. Your husband, your employees, even Lil Boston. The way that I talk to him, the Lord has convicted me about that before. I've learned the merit of patience and keeping my voice at a certain level just because of the way he looks at me. So I believe the Lord blessed me with this particular pet to teach me how to say exactly what needs to be said without traumatizing particularly young ones, young people, because they're very edgy now. Like, the littlest thing, the way you say it will set them off. So it's like, there's a reason why that's there. They're always ready for conflict because they're around conflict all the time. Okay, so the more quiet you are and the more you listen, the situations will work out a lot better. So go to Proverbs. What was the first scripture I gave you? Was it 10? 10 and 19? Okay. 10 and 19 says, when words, watch this, church, and listeners to the podcast, when words are many, sin is not absent. People who talk a lot all the time are trying to distract you from not dialing in to who they really are. When they're always talking, when words are many, sin is not absent. And it may not mean sin is not absent, not so much for them personally, but it could be the environment that they're in. They have to constantly justify and cover the environment that they live in. So many times speaking all the time, where you see that when it's not requested, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is a wise person. And this is something that I have come to learn, is listen to the question. When I was in acting class, one of the first things they taught me was, don't just memorize your line. Hear what the other character that you're acting with in the scene is actually saying. Because what you'll do when you memorize words, you're so focused on your part of the scene, that you're not responding to what you're hearing from the actor. You're focused so much on the script and making sure you get the words right, that you're not giving a good performance because you're not listening to what the actor is saying. And many times people are asking you questions and you never heard what they asked you. You immediately respond with the script that you already have written in your mind because you're so used to them attacking you that you're speaking from memory, but you're not listening and responding, giving a good performance as a person, because you really never heard the question or the statement or what was being asked or what was being said. And when you have a pattern of issues happening repeatedly in your life or in the past, you will begin to bring the equation from previous conflicts to every situation, and you'll be in a circle. So when people want to say, I want to talk to you, you say communicate, then when they try to communicate to you, you are already expecting an attack. So your response has already been prefaced with defense, and you've never heard what the person asked you. And you're so used to every time something is asked of you, it's laced with accusation. You assume that the question is to hurt and not to help. Understanding comes from listening. Listen to when and why and how they said it. Before you respond, they used to tell us in comedy acting, take a beat. That means after they say what they say, before you just come back in, let their setup sink in, so when you come in with your punchline, it's funny. If you come back too quickly, the audience doesn't get a chance to get either that double entendre or that double meaning of that statement, so you can come back with the funny part in comedy. But if you don't wait that beat, have you ever heard someone say they have great comedic timing? That means that they're not just acting, but they're waiting for that beat. There's a beat. So when someone says, so what are you doing today? Beat, before you take that as, what you mean what I'm doing today? Well, they weren't coming at you. Take a beat and be like, okay, let's take a beat. Within that beat, say, okay, am I automatically ready to attack because I'm so used to when people ask me questions, I'm ready to lash out and rip out their throat? Or are they genuinely just asking me, what am I doing today? And then you'll be mad because people be like, well, what's wrong with you? Ain't nothing wrong with me. But it's the way you're responding to a simple question. What's wrong? Nothing. Why you always ask me what's wrong? If something's wrong, I'll tell you it's wrong. So I spoke and asked you nicely. I said the statement nicely. And no matter how I say it to you, you are ready to combat. Have you ever done that? Raise your hand. That you didn't take that beat because either something happened previously in your day that already had you with a certain type of character. So by the time this innocent bystander walks into the situation, you have now attacked someone based off of your experience from previously that day. You've experienced it in customer service. You come into a place to buy food. We don't know what went on with that server that day. But do I, as the customer, have anything to do with that server's day? They're at their job. They're at their post. I'm here to have a happy or a nice experience. At church, as we serve, as we do different things within this place, church service, Sunday morning service, Sunday night, Wednesday, Tuesday, whatever the day may be, how are we conducting our customer service? When someone asks us, can you get me a fan, are we already ready to say, well, you're right by it, why don't you get it yourself? Or are we making people who come here feel special? We don't know what people have experienced before they've come here. Maybe there's a reason why they're not lifting their hands that day. Maybe there's a reason why they're not feeling a certain way. That there's a certain thing that have happened, but we're here to make the experience good and not bad. So Proverbs chapter number 10 and verse number 19 specifically says that when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. What's our next scripture? Proverbs 15. Very good. Verse number one, and see, I try to make sure that we're not just having what you call Bible study, but I really want to see you grow as a citizen, as a human being. Very important. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Just you saying it that way is going to cause a series of events to subsequently happen because you chose to present it in a way that suggests superiority, condescending. Verse number 2 says, the tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of the fool loves dumb stuff or folly. Like you revel in it and you won't even acknowledge the knowledge that comes with wisdom. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge. So the tongue of the wise equates to what? We talked about this earlier. What equals what? A kept tongue. So that means quiet folks appreciate knowledge. Talkative people love a bunch of foolish, dumb conversation that does not edify, build up. And you have to know there's a time and place to be silly. It has its place. If you aren't silly, sometimes a little nonsense now and then is relished by the wisest men. You gotta be crazy sometimes. Nonsense is a lot of fun sometimes. There's nothing wrong with that. But you must know when and where that's appropriate. If you want to be heard, what do you need to do, class? Say it in the way that you would like to hear it yourself. If just always think before I say this statement, if I heard someone saying it the way I'm saying it to me, would I respond with a little bit of funkadunk? Is this helping anybody?
Yes.
Tell someone, respond with a gentle, respectful tone. When you do that, it shows that you're not accident prone. People who get angry very quickly and fly off at the handle, get behind the wheel of a car and drive crazy out of parking lots and screech off and run lights and grip corners and skirch out and just angry. So what does the rest of the innocent drivers have to do with the fact you're upset? Now you're going to risk somebody else's life because you're having a bad day? I've done it before. You angry at where you came from at home, before you even get in the car, you got to take a beat. Calm down. You will hurt someone. You'll end up in jail because you was messed up about someone correcting you about your socks not being in the hamper. Now you end up in the slammer for vehicular manslaughter because you didn't want to calm down before you got behind that wheel. One of the fruits of the Spirit is gentleness, which is, I guess I'm learning because of I've seen and been through so much. The more you go through, the less likely you are to jump to conclusions about anyone's matters, because as you live, you begin to see there's nothing new under the sun. And so you don't just jump to the end of it. You're like, no, I've been in that state before too. I know what that means. I don't know about you, but I can hear a lot better when I'm not yelled at. Show of hands. Isn't it the level, it's the tone that makes you, it's just the tone. Am I right? Sometimes it is what's said, because people know how to quietly say mean things. But for the most part, you don't get that rush or that adrenaline. Like, if someone says something to me with a certain mist on it, I immediately feel the same feeling I felt when I was about to fight somebody. Because I'm like, if they're talking like that, is the next step they're about to get physical with me? So I feel all of that adrenaline start, it starts bubbling in me, because I'm like, oh, okay, if he keeps talking like this, if she keeps on talking like this, if they keep talking like this, that tone equals a certain thing to me. So if you know that's how you respond, then make sure you're not giving that out. And then get mad when they come at you like, now you're going to call them disrespectful. But you served disrespectfully. I was about to say, I know Boston's at home. Okay. Okay. When you repeat things over and over again, it's a form of emotional abuse. Write that down. When you keep on saying it over and over and over and over again to try to get under the nails of people and under the skin of people, keep nagging them, thinking that's going to make them change. If they haven't changed their behavior, you repeating it is not going to make them shift in a new direction. As a matter of fact, it becomes less powerful with each repetition. Every time you keep saying, do this, do this, do this, do this, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this, blah, 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 blah. Every time, until the point that when you do need that one command done, you can't even get it done, because you've used repetition to try to manipulate your outcome. And you'll get frustrated because the person's not going to respond. It's almost like if I keep my voice at a certain level, if by chance, if I'm known for an entire year never to raise my voice, if I do one time in that year raise my voice, do you know how much more powerful that's going to be? Because it's never been at that level. If it's known to be at that level, it's never going to have the weight and the power that you need as a parent, as a leader. This is good. And in life, the best leaders know how to keep under control even when followers want your reaction. Because if the followers get your reaction, then that means you are on the same level as us, because that's how we get down. So in leadership, you have to make sure you're not allowing people to bring you off of your wall. And they'll think about what they've done, and they'll realize that their whole reason for asking was not to get understanding, but it was to provoke, to see if I can get you off your wall. They're going to repent. Hear me when I say. Because if you follow what the word says, they're going to have to come back around knowing that you didn't do nothing wrong. Am I teaching all right? Okay, all right. No one takes anyone who throws hissy fits seriously. They don't take you seriously. They're like, well, if they're not emotionally kept, they're probably not psychologically kept. You don't want to come across looking like a nut, because no one wants to speak to you because they're afraid of you going off into oblivion because of a hissy fit. It's like, let's break the perpetual stereotypes of minorities. People are afraid to talk to us. Why? Because we're going to get loud. We're going to act crazy. We're going to act stupid in public.
So they're literally afraid to even approach us to correct us about things that we're wrong about, because we'll back down our correction with, you don't be, what, or get loud and involve 10 other people in a situation that don't even need to hear. Instead of pulling somebody aside and saying, you know, this is what I felt. I don't appreciate the way that you did that. I would appreciate if you don't go about doing it that way next time. I bet you if you try that, people will have respect for your womanhood and your manhood and respect you as an adult and a law-abiding citizen. You will never get anywhere in your career and life, nowhere, if you are constantly blowing up. They won't take you seriously. Just like if you wear certain colors, people aren't going to take you seriously. If you use certain language, people don't take you seriously. You have to watch. Certain hairstyles, they're not going to take me seriously. No matter how creative I think I'm going to be. When I want to have certain things done a certain way, I know what I have to do. I know what I have to do. Temperance and modesty and evil tones, even tones, all make people take you seriously. Like, I can trust this person with critical decisions. If you throw a hissy fit over a snicker, I can't trust you with a checkbook. Am I helping anyone? I'm telling you now, in life, people will respect an even-tempered person. Is there another scripture I gave you all? Chapter 19 of Proverbs. Okay, let's go there. Verse number 1 says, it's better that a poor man whose walk is blameless than a fool whose lips are perverse. When people go off, they get their way for a moment. Someone say a moment. They only get it for that moment because people are afraid. But it will cost them later, because once that story gets back to the rest of the family and the rest of the choir and the rest of the church and the rest of the saints, and everybody puts their 10 and 15 cents on the account they weren't even present for, somebody say amen. Amen. It turns into a mess. Am I right about it? Amen. Keep conflicts between who the conflict is with. Because if you do that, you won't have 17 other perspectives putting in their opinion to a matter that did not even involve them. Don't be involved with other men's matters. And if someone has something to say, you cannot take what someone else said about that situation. If the person didn't come to you, then don't receive it as an offense. You can't be mad with people and you didn't hear them say it. What is there to discuss, my friends? We are taking precious time to discuss a hypothetical account that has not even been proven as factual, concrete evidence. And we ain't speaking to each other based off the fact we heard someone said something. You heard. Isn't it amazing to you how much you hear people say, I heard, word on the street is, they. Who is they? Y'all tell, who is they? Well, they said, who is they? Who is they? The they spirit has destroyed churches. They, I don't even know who they are, have destroyed marriages. They have broken up beautiful, fruitful business partnerships. And then when you need to confront them, no one can find where they are, because they never own up to what they say. So because of what they said, now we don't talk. The reason why people throw fits, number one, write this down. This is why people throw hissy fits and get all off and go all crazy. We're at Proverbs chapter number 19. The last verse we just covered was, it's better that a poor man whose walk is blameless than for a fool whose lips are perverse. Number one, the reason why you throw hissy fits is we are afraid we are not being heard. So that's why we blow up. This cricket is being heard. But it's amazing to me how such a small issue can distract an entire congregation. Ain't that life? It's that small thing that you're not dealing with that will cause everything to halt and say, where is that coming from? And it's been here since Sunday. I heard it Sunday. It's probably befitting, because some of the things I'm going to say tonight, that's all we're going to hear is cricket. So it's quite all right. The number two reason why people throw hissy fits or go off or go crazy, ballistic, is because yelling has produced results of getting your way or their way in the past. And if people have operated in the spirit of intimidation, and usually people who do, had to defend themselves their whole life. See, it's like you want to go off about people who come off that way, but when their entire life has been a fight, they're constantly expecting the worst. It's not that they're evil people, but when they put their guards down, they get done dirty. So the only way they feel that they're not being ran over is to raise their voice so that you understand you're not going to hurt me the way I've been hurt in the past. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. The number three reason is, which I hope is not you, is you want to intimidate or control others. Now, if you're trying to control somebody, you don't want to get into all of that, because that's too close to witchcraft, manipulation, and control. That's all some voodoo stuff. You don't want to get involved in that. Some people yell because it's a form of intimidation or control to others, and most people that yell are teddy bears. You'll find the ones that's big Bahama mamas are usually the softest ones there are. They really are lovers, not fighters. Bahama mama. The number four reason for hissy fits is that's the environment they grew up in. That's how things got solved. And for some people, those levels are normal. Be around a black or Hispanic family. Stand outside of the house during a reunion or family's over. They're all yelling at the same time. You'd be like, and sometimes you'll be in them environments and then you'll think, why am I yelling? Because you want to be heard. Everyone has something important to say. That doesn't always mean conflict. Sometimes it just means I feel so free about being myself and this is just how we are, that this is our way of communicating. That's different. But notice, as you get loud like that, throw a little bit of Hennessy in that and it turns into a disaster. Just a little bit. Confirmation. It's just a little bit of sauce. Listeners in podcast land, you know I'm telling the truth. You sipping while you listening to this word right now. It's all right. It's all right. God is able. Number five, we are still angry over an unresolved issue. And when people feel like I have tried to communicate to you several times and you keep on ignoring me, now I have to go to subwoofer level. The entire block has to hear my car pulling up because you didn't listen in the house. Okay. And then number six is quite simple. It's not that deep. It's a bad habit. And if you be honest with yourself tonight, say, you know what? It's just a bad habit. It's just something I've always done. Father, help me work on this. And have friends and family keep you accountable to wanting to change those habits, if you really do want to change. Because if you want to be successful, if you want to be able to interact with white people, if you want to be able to interact with Hispanics and Jews and whoever else does business with you, you're going to have to break these habits so that they don't start looking at you funny the moment you walk through a door, saying, where's the conflict? Where's the argument? They tense up. As soon as they see us come in, what's going to be the problem? What's wrong? What? Let me hurry up and just get them what they need so we can get them out of here and conduct the rest of our day. There's two forms of power in the world. One is love and the other is fear. Write that down. There are no in-betweens. Our reactions are based off of love, or our reactions are based off of fear. Fear of not winning, fear of losing, fear of not being heard. You have to cancel out fearful thoughts. Are they cheating? Are they tripping? What do they mean by that? I think they were saying something. That's fear. I think they're about to hurt me again. Versus love. You know what? Mm-mm. The spirit of love says, you know what? Maybe that part was for somebody else, and I'm taking everything personally because I'm already on the edge. And saints, when we're on the edge, TV shows can come on. Someone could be sitting next to you, and something that comes on TV will remind you of what got you pissed off about something they did because you're already on the edge. Then you watch that show, and before you know it, you mad. And the person thinking they watching television. Last thing you know, they got served some cool liquids, a few fruit snacks. And now, you up there, huffing and puffing, steamy, and they don't even know why. I'll tell you why, idiot. You were watching Cheaters with your partner. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. That's not a show for couples. Don't watch Cheaters. All it can do is plant seeds of doubt and fear between you and your mate. So don't watch it together. You can even watch it separately and be all right, because then you have time, and then you may take notes to how to watch out for certain things, but it won't be a direct conflict. I mean, that's like trying to watch Cops while smoking weed. You're already paranoid. Verse number two, it is not good to have zeal without knowledge. It's not good to be outgoing without understanding what you're going out into. Because a lot of people say, yes, I'm down for it. I'll do this. I'll do that. But wait a minute. Did you get all the facts before you said yes? Help me, Lord. And say more no than yes. People will stop coming to you if they know no is in your vocabulary. If they know no is not in your vocabulary, they're going to keep coming back. But if they know that you can, that you've been known to say no, they're less likely to keep coming back with the same stuff. It also says to not be hasty and miss the way. No matter how good the deal may seem, no matter how awesome things may look, before you commit to signing a contract for a car or a house, take a beat, once again, and watch and see if the salesman's mouth begins to salivate. Because if they look like hurry up, don't do it. You should never be pressured into making such lifelong and credit shattering commitments. Have you ever noticed, you'd be like, you'd be justifying it within your mind while you're at the car lot. Now, I know I'm already liking, but I can arrange a few, I can make these payments. I can shuffle this. It's all right. I can make this. And you already know every month it's going to be a Lord make a way somehow. You ain't going to shuffle. What do you have to shuffle? Peanuts? You already in debt. So until the Lord provides a miracle from someone else or something else happens, all of your appointed times, you better wait till your change comes. And when your change comes, don't go get a Bentley. You never get a luxury automobile before you get a luxury home. And the church said amen. Yeah, I got a Beamer, but you live in a one-bedroom apartment on Spring Street? The car was your down payment, boo, for your equity in your home. Amen. Y'all ain't mad, are you? Okay. Okay. Can I get the Message Bible version of Proverbs number 19, somebody who has that with them, because we're going to go into that. Write this down. I can control myself, but God is ultimately in control of everything. Without thinking too far into this, how many people have bad habits in here? Biting nails, popping gum in quiet places, eating crackers in bed. Do you know that the core root of habit is repetition? So, what we have to start doing is start repeating the right thing over and over again. And it's hard to get the first good one started. It seems like it's so easy to pick up a habit, but it's so difficult to start towards breaking it. Because the habit becomes your hobbit. You can write that down. The habit becomes your hobbit. It becomes your pet. And it wants to be fed daily. Your habit wants to be looked at and paid attention to daily. Why? Because I'm in your life now and we need each other to survive. This is good. Proverbs 29 and 11, everyone. Let's go there. We'll come back to 19. Someone has that Message Bible for me. I appreciate that. 29 and 11. And I also would like to read the New International Version of Proverbs 10 and 19 while you're moving over to the Proverbs 29 and 11 text. It says, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. And I want to make sure that my heart
is still deemed valuable. There's a lot of people that make a lot of mistakes, but you can always discern a heart of gold. At least I can. I can always, you know what? Yeah, they're a bad boy, they're a bad girl, they're blah, 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 blah. But my discernment says they have a heart of gold. Then you can see there's some people that look like they do everything right and they're do-gooders, but you're like, you know what? But they're shady. It's, I don't know what. They're clean, they speak well, they have it all popping, but shady. I want to make sure that no matter what happens in life, action or deed, that my heart remains pure as gold. Proverbs 29 and 11. Do you have it? Okay. Could you read that for me, Elder Dukes? Could you read 29 and 11 for me, please?
A fool learns all his mind, but a wise man keeps it left.
In other words, a very foolish person expresses their complete feeling about an issue. Save some of the commentary about what you feel about it for later or for inward observation. Because after you're over it, the people who heard your expression still play that part. So the more you give everything you feel about that matter, the longer it will take for the matter to be solved. Because now you have to wait. Like, if the issue is not a rock, then keep it at a pebble. Because even a pebble has ripple effects. Like, even the tiny pebble will make those rings that go out. And sometimes it takes a while for the water to settle again because the initial impact hit, the initial earthquake, the epicenter of the drama, the issue, the scandal, whatever it may be. And sometimes those ripples take months to finally settle. And there's people who weren't even near where the initial epicenter is. It's been said, the epicenter sometimes doesn't even see the most damage. It's how it reverberates itself. It's how it loops itself that it almost increases. That's how tsunamis, that's how they start. It's an initial shake underneath the ocean floor that causes a ripple effect that when they all come together, everything on land has to pay for the one instance that happened underwater. Does that make sense to everyone? Okay. So make sure that you are not overexpressing how angry you are. You're going to be angry, but the Bible says be angry and sin not. And the moment you sin is the moment you start involving the other you with the other words. Plain and simple. The other you with your special words. If you can resort to a curse word before a hallelujah, that tells you where your spiritual life is. And that's just real talk. If the first reaction to everything is just like, blink it, blink, blink. Okay, that means you on the other side right now. It's true. And sometimes you'd be like, I didn't mean to say that. That's just something I say all the time. There's a difference too. Some of it is with the intention of the sting, and other times it's that word habit. So you've gotten so used to just talking about fun things with curse words. It's not always bad. Man, this blank tastes good, man. Woo! Delicious. All right. Can someone give me the Message Bible of 19? Who has that now? Who is it? Message? Anyone have that for me? Oh, you don't have to go all the way to your car. Go ahead. Yeah, just read from 19. It's better to be poor than to be a rich man that nobody can trust. Go on. Keep going. Everyone flocks around a generous person, ain't the truth, but the moment you cut off their supply, you have no support. Go on. Yes, when you're down in your luck, your friends avoid you. Yes, even your best friends. Yes. Keep a clear head, you'll find a good life. The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, but his glory is to, watch this. This is going to take you to the next level this year. This is going to take you to the top. If you're listening, this is about to take you to the top. From this night forward, vow to yourself, your ministry, destiny, and career that I'm going to start overlooking transgressions for the rest of my life. Some of you would rather be broke than to apply that principle because you want to be broke and be able to hold people hostage. You want to be without things that you need just because you want to keep on repeating that they hurt me, they did this, they said that. You would rather hold on to that, thinking that other people care about what you're bitter about. People don't care what you're still angry about. They don't care. No one cares that you're still angry. The only time you get people's attention is when they know you bring positive energy to them. They want to be around you. So when you overlook transgressions and not feed into the fact that you were transgressed again, you will understand the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Because the sooner you let them go, the moment you step on someone's toes, you're going to be released as well. Now, you know you don't want no one holding on to the stuff you do. So why do you continually have an account specially set up for deposits of remembering the things people did to you? You just say, oh yeah, I have a big account, honey. I have millions of dollars in resentment. But poor in spirit. Overdrawn on love and forgiveness. But could buy a yacht with your resentment. Overlook the transgression because they're going to transgress hundreds of more times. You can either spend your life honing in on what they did wrong or say, I forgive you, and get back to your job and get that check. You don't have to deal with these people. You do not have to deal with them like that. No, you don't. No, you don't. Do your job. Get out. Be polite. Stay away from the water cooler. When you overhear something going on, someone else's mistake in your department, don't chime in on how many other times they've made mistakes. Yeah, honey, that ain't the first time. See, there you go. That pebble is going to ripple because someone's going to say they heard you mention something and make it like you started the whole conversation. I tell you, the more I try to stay clear, the more people keep trying to pull me in. But do you know tonight I refuse to come off of my wall? I'm not doing it. You don't need to do it. Quit letting these tiny misunderstandings. You keep building these walls. You jump on top of them. Look like you're about to finally get some consistency in your life. And here comes this gnat, a fly, a mosquito, a cricket. Distracts you from all the months of hard work you put into making yourself a better behaved person. All right. Do you really need to win? Listener, do you really need to win? Or do you need to keep it moving? Because sometimes when you win these arguments, sometimes when you find out who really said it, you wish you didn't know. Because it's not who you think it is. It's who you trusted. These are things you can apply. This is a simple teach, but it's very powerful, and it will work for the rest of your walk, for the rest of your week. www.stoptexting.com. It's better that you don't read a text and respond, because texts don't give you the emotion behind the way it's being typed. Am I helping the church? No matter how many LOLs and smiley faces you try to put behind something to make sure people know you don't mean no harm by it, it just doesn't translate the same way. So if it's something that can be misinterpreted, tell your neighbor, don't text it. If it can be taken eight ways, don't put it out there. Take a beat before you go off and send an angry text. Tell someone, take a beat, read it again. And if you check for typos, by the time you check the typos, you're like, I don't even need, why am I texting this paragraph? Why am I even texting this paragraph? Oh, I gotta bring it back in. All right, that's it for tonight. God bless.